Hello, West Liberty. You are listening to WGLZ. Today's a special day. The topic of discussion is distinctive discussion. Today, I'll be talking with a person stuff in my career field. He started his career at the Art Institute of Pittsburgh, and he majored in audiovisual production. He currently works as audio production coordinator at Willing Park, here with my special guest, Chris Markle. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm doing good. So what kind of things do you usually do for that production coordinator? Like what objectives?
Well, a typical day here, when there's not a production or a show going on, obviously there's a lot of equipment, sound, lighting, lighting fixtures, microphones, wireless systems. There's a lot of stuff you got to keep on top of. There's a lot of maintenance involved, making sure the stuff is dusted properly. Lighting fixtures can get pretty dusty at times, as you can imagine. Doing some scheduling, calling customers back, making sure that we have everything on file for them for when their show rolls around. We've got everything lined up as far as what their needs may be.
Okay, that sounds really cool. For the creative aspect, do you do anything creative in the way of the production for being a production coordinator?
Creative aspect would be helping with Mrs. Red with set design. She teaches a tech class. They come in and they build set for, the fall play, spring musical, lighting. Lighting's pretty creative. You can do a lot of different things with how you light a scene, different colors. You can do a lot with that.
You're talking about lighting. How do you know to use the right lighting for a certain scene, stuff in that, and in a play?
Well, typically you want to make sure you have the scene well lit, so you can see the actors' faces, any gestures, stuff like that. The students are taught to really project and focus on getting their voice out. They emphasize on their movements. Depending on how you have the stage lit, you got to make sure that if they're standing in a certain area, you can highlight that area so that you're not lighting the whole stage. Especially if there's two people that are acting and they're in one corner, you can have that corner lit versus the whole stage. With the whole stage lit, you want to draw the audience's attention to a certain area.
For lighting for certain scenes, you got to make everything you got to give the message right and stuff, and it has to be pivotal in the certain scene, and also it has to be vocal, has to have a message behind that light, certain lighting, especially if that for photography and stuff. Now I have to use certain lighting that sets the scene right when I take certain shots.
Yeah, indeed. You can do, like I said, you can do a lot with lighting. You can, add tension to a scene just by the way it's lit.
Right. And for work-wise and stuff like that, do you do anything pre-production-wise?
Pre-production would be, for the fall play that just happened, we needed to go through the script and make sure all the lighting cues were met appropriately.
Okay. Creative aspect in a way and stuff for questions. Do you do anything in the way of photography, video editing, or anything like that?
I per se, I do not. When I went to school, I did have areas that I studied, under the whole film and photography type aspect, but not so much here. Those disciplines, kind of carried over because, when someone comes in and they've got a camera crew, knowing how to light the stage, knowing that, the camera operator is going to need time to white balance this camera, what color temperature are you using? A lot of that plays, into both roles. The stuff that I learned in film school can carry over into the whole still photography type range of things.
For your production coordinator, do you get any students involved with your production?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. I try to get as many students as involved as possible.
What do you usually get them to do in daily tasks and stuff for production wise?
Everything from focusing the lights, putting colored gels in the lights, programming the lighting board, wiring up the stage as far as microphones. They know how to do pretty much everything. They know how to use the follow spots. They know how to use the Clancy system, which is the motorized system that all our battens are on. So if they needed to move curtains in or out, they know how to do that.
A follow-up question to that. Is there any things that they do, stuff that's actually challenging?
Oh, I would say that there's every aspect of that is challenging. The problem, I would say, learning the lighting console is a whole other ball game than just, you know, turning light on. There's a little more to it. It's way more involved. Same thing with sound. You know, you can turn the board on, but unless you know how things are patched, it can become challenging, especially when you're trying to troubleshoot. You know, if you have a channel that's not working, you got to kind of know how things are patched.
But does the students do anything like post-production wise and stuff like that for that type of work, for recording video and stuff for the play or anything like that?
There is a class that comes in, part of the park player class. They will come in and use the video equipment. We have video cameras and some video editing software. They come in and they do videotape, and then they go back through and record, and I believe they make copies. However, I've never been involved in that process yet, but I'd hope to get in, you know, more involved with that down the road.
Right. Do they do like anything like in post-production wise? Like, is it like a rough cut what they're doing, or are they actually going full on editing for it?
I've never been involved with that process, so I really couldn't say.
Okay, just making sure. But yeah, we will be coming back from the break, and we'll be discussing more on a fair share in the line of work, and that for learning about what Chris Markle does and stuff, and his responsibilities through pre-production and post-production in the realm of audiovisual production. We will come back from the break in about 5 minutes. Are you searching for the best music?
3, 2, 1.
Are you ready?
Tune into the best radio station at West Liberty with an astonishing playlist by your favorite artist that will blow your mind. Listen to the best station.
91.5 FM, WGLZ.
We are college radio and we're passionately vocal. Hello, West Liberty. We are back. You're listening to WGLZ. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal. I'm here back with my friend Chris Markle. We discussed about being a production coordinator and all the creative elements that he does with the students net, and also all the things to do for pre-production and post-production work. So, Chris, in your line of work, does cinematography relate to your line of work?
Well, I mean, we do have a camera crew that comes in from time to time. Like I was mentioning earlier, the park players, they have video equipment. Sometimes the students will come down, use the equipment to videotape, you know, a play or whatever else is going on the stage right now. So the Festival of Sound is pretty big. They hire a whole video crew to come in and videotape that.
For your line of work, is there any other like additional responsibilities that you do in your line of work?
Well, I mean, as far as being production coordinator here, you know, there's a lot of areas. You have building maintenance, got to make sure that, you know, light bulbs are changed out, not just on the fixtures that are used for the stage, but for, you know, the lights that are throughout the house, the lobby. You know, if I notice that one of the restrooms needs paper towels or anything, you know, that's something that I've got to make sure that janitorial staff, you know, keeps up on.
For being a production coordinator and stuff, what event is the biggest, the most, and stuff doing being a production coordinator? Like, what event that comes out the most, that's like pops out the most, and that when you do throughout the year?
Festival of Sound is, you know, for the big Christmas concert that they, you know, that the folks do up here at William Park High School. That's probably one of the larger concerts that we'll do. Every child that plays an instrument that's in music class or who sings up here at William Park, they're going to be on stage performing. They do 3 nights, and they're pretty close to selling out all 3 nights.
Is for those at that event, how successful is that event usually throughout the year?
Well, they do Festival of Sound in December, and then they do a spring concert. I don't believe the spring concert is quite as large, but it is just as successful.
For holiday wise, is there anything like big events net holiday wise for like Christmas net plays that you have up there or anything like that?
Yeah, for the Christmas season, almost every middle school does a production up here, and almost every elementary school does a production up here. So for the next 2 weeks, we've got concerts happening almost every night.
For the events and stuff, that you're discussing stuff, has it ever gotten sold out before?
Back, I believe, when the Performing Arts Center first opened, I believe that was 2012, I think for Festival of Sound, they had to do so many shows because, you know, each night was packed. Nowadays, you know, with the onset of the pandemic and the lockdowns and everything that potentially happened, I really don't know if, you know, this is going to be my first year doing this. So I'm not exactly certain how the pandemic had affected, you know, events. I kind of was out of that kind of aspect of things for a while. I got out of doing productions for a little while, but now that I'm back in, it seems like that, you know, more people are apt to go out and do things, which is great. I think people need to get out of the house and support these kids and everything they do. It's a great venue for the county, and I know the kids have a lot of fun up here. So that's what it's all about.
Definitely. For, like you said, for COVID and stuff, after COVID happened and everything, for technology wise, getting things more open for students, having more opportunities, I think, and for your line of work and stuff, working with the students stuff, I think it opened more up with technology being more involved, stuff, it created more opportunities in that production.
Yeah, possibly. I think that, you know, people, you know, nowadays they want to get out of the house. They want to do things. They don't want to be cooped up in the house. I think they had enough of that.
Yeah, me myself in that, it restricted me for a little bit with COVID and everything, and I wanted to get out of the house and stuff, and that, and you just couldn't do much in the way of like doing work or that, or anything creative really. So Chris, is there any like other creative elements that you do in your line of work?
Well, here at the Performing Arts Center, like I mentioned, you know, sound can be creative. You know, the way you mic an instrument, you know, that could change the sound. There's not really, I wouldn't say that's really a creative aspect though, because there's typically a right way to mic something or a wrong way. I don't do a lot of effect processing, you know, adding reverb or delay. It's just the venue, just the productions that I've done haven't really called for that. Lighting wise, yeah, we've done a lot of creativity lighting wise. We lit up part of the wall to make it look like a tree. So when the actor was standing on the platform, it looked like they were in a tree. I would say that, you know, helping Mrs. Red and her class with, you know, the, you know, setting up the, you know, for the fall play, there was definitely a creative aspect there, you know, how, cause they needed some help figuring out how to cut circles and how to stand the thing up. I mean, it was all, you know, and the way it was lit, there was a certain creative process that happened. We used black lights. We used different colors. We used up lighting. It was a nice production. The kids did a really good job.
You mentioned for the kids and stuff, they build a tree and stuff, and doing construction wise and that, doing things for the play and stuff and building structures and stuff and that for certain scenes. In the way of processing that, how do you feel they do that successfully?
Oh, they did a great job. They did a really good job. They were a little stuck at first when it came to a few things, but you know, you offer input, and then to see these kids take a hold of the, you know, the project and just run with it because they have the idea and they're getting things done. That's what's exciting.
Definitely, and also for them doing that creatively and stuff, and that, and also boosts confidence and also inspires them as well.
Oh yeah. Some of these kids, they, you know, they can make a pretty decent career, you know, in and around this valley, not so much Wheeling per se, but, you know, bigger cities, like you get, you know, go out towards Columbus or Pittsburgh. It seems like they're always using people to help build sets for movies that come into, and they're filming in and around those areas.
Definitely. For the future wise for these students, I'm very well looking forward to it. I feel like they're going to be very successful in the long run when they do this kind of line of work. And I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun, creative wise.
Yeah, I believe so.
But yeah, Steph, we will be ending this this discussion here. Chris, I had a great time talking with you and getting to know your line of work and stuff. I think it's really cool and stuff, and I find it very interesting.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
It was a pleasure as well. And for you audience out there, this is the end of the discussion stuff. This is David on WGLZ. We are College Radio, and we are passionately focal.